Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning.
It's time to wake up.
It's early, and if you're up, so are we. It's the early morning show. Think of it as a pre-show to the pre-show kind of thing.
Hell of a way to begin a day.
Tuck in Pittsburgh sports before the sun comes up. The Fan Early Morning Show is on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into the Early Morning Show. I'm Cale Berger. Glad to be with you on this Labor Day. Hope everyone has a great time with family and friends, obviously safely and wearing their masks, but enjoying some barbecue or a day at the pool or anything along those lines. Seems to be like it's going to be a great day for doing any of that outside. Well, you heard it right there in the update. The big news dropping late last night. Talk about a Sunday evening news dump. But I'm glad I didn't go to bed, because this would have been awkward if I strolled in here Monday morning right now and was unaware that the Steelers and defensive end Cam Hayward have finally agreed to a contract extension that will keep Hayward in town until 2024. A four-year, $71.4 million extension for Hayward. I believe the total number, when you include this year, is something around $75.4 or something along those lines, if my numbers aren't exactly adding up. But still, Cam Hayward gets paid. They get the deal done before the season starts. They're able to keep to their bogus, stupid tradition of we don't negotiate contract extensions in season, which, you know, I thought they'd make an exception for Cam Hayward considering how important he is, and we'll get to that in a second. But they get it done, so they don't have to worry about it. Now, when you look at this extension for Cam Hayward, and this is what I'm gonna keep preaching and harping back to, is that this was something you had to get done. You cannot let Cam Hayward play for another team during his NFL career if you're the Steelers. You couldn't let it happen. You had to keep him in black and gold until he retires. He's that kind of a guy. He's the defensive captain. He's a leader. He's been in Pittsburgh for, this will be his 10th season with the Steelers. But there are some red flags. So what I wanted to touch on today first, as we get things started here in the early morning show, is kind of what this means for the Steelers going forward. Money-wise, looking at their defense, looking at Hayward's age, and does this make sense for the Steelers for a team where they are right now? So we look at Cam Hayward first. He's coming off the best three-year stretch of his career. One of the best three-year stretches of any Steelers defensive player ever. Two of the last 3 years, he's made first-team All-Pro. Three straight years, he's made the Pro Bowl. Last year, career high in tackles with 51. 11 tackles for loss. 23 quarterback hits, 9 sacks. And this is at the age of 30. So Cam Hayward's a guy who, when you look at defensive linemen, you would think, all right, 28 and beyond is when they're going to start slowing down. Well, it's kind of been the opposite for him, where he's really just entered into the prime of his career over the last 3 years. Now, the question is, at the age of 30, how long does this last? How long does his prime continue? Does it continue for another 2-3 years? If so, that's great. If he has a good year this year, or even hits a downturn this year as he approaches 31, that's another story. And when you look at that stat that I mentioned in the update, that he's the, it's the highest per year basis, base salary for a player over 30, a defensive player over 30 in NFL history. As much as you say, wow, great for him, you also think, well, maybe there's a reason why that is. And the reasoning being is, you know, this isn't like quarterbacks. I would say defensive line is a lot similar to how we judge running backs, where, you know, you see a guy get past 30 and there's more cases than not of guys falling off a cliff than there are guys that continue to excel beyond their 30th birthday. And that's one of my big concerns with Cam Hayward is how long is he going to keep this up? You would hope, like I said, that he continues to dominate the way he has and be this anchor for the Steelers' defense inside. Now, he plays a position. He's listed as a defensive end, but he's basically played defensive tackle for the last 2-3 years, and he will this year as well. So he's not being asked to be an edge rusher, to keep contained on the outside. By nature of the Steelers' 3-4 scheme that they run, he's more of a run stuffer. And maybe that's something that prolongs his career and prolongs his effectiveness a little more because he's not being asked to, you know, he's not being asked to deal with the speed on the edge in the NFL, keeping contained, trying to rush the passer, which is something he can do, but really not his strong suit at his size and his style of play. He's being asked to stuff the run. So maybe that's a reason why Cam Hayward can continue to be as dominant as he has been. The other thing, too, though, is he's the unquestioned leader of this team. Now, some may say Ben Roethlisberger, but I think Cam Hayward is the heart and soul of the Steelers, offense or defense. The way he's respected, the way that locker room looks up to him, the way that he is followed by his peers and his teammates, and not only by the Steelers, by the community, the way he's beloved in Pittsburgh. This was also a PR move for the Steelers. You can't let a guy who is this beloved in the city and by the community, you can't let that guy go play elsewhere. Because as much as the contract might hurt, and it is a steep price for a 30-year-old defensive tackle, you have to think of all that he does in the community with his charity, the Hayward House, how he embodies the Steeler way, you know, if that's not trademarked already, the Steeler way. And everything the Steelers strive to be and strive to have in their players, he does all that. And he does all that exceptionally well. So this is another move where it's a guy who's just so important and beloved in the community that you can't let him walk because they would get killed. They would get destroyed if they didn't get a deal done with Cam Hayward. So if you had to pay a little more and pay a premium for a 30-year-old defensive tackle, you do it. But my big question, though, is what does this do for the Steelers going forward? Because they have a lot of guys coming up that are much younger than Cam Hayward, that are probably going to get paid more than Cam Hayward, and guys that, whether you want to admit it or not, are more important to the Steelers' long-term plans than Cam Hayward is. Yes, Cam Hayward's going to be here for the next 4 years now, but look at the guys that are upcoming free agents, and I'm going to try and forecast who the guys are that, because you can't pay everybody, and with giving this big-time money to Cam Hayward for the next 4 years, that means other guys are not going to see their payday and they're going to go elsewhere. So you look at the free agents over the next 2 years, the biggest ones for the Steelers. Coming up after this season, 2021, Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner. Two of your young offensive stars, guys that have had up and downs throughout their short careers with the Steelers, they're going to be up for extensions, for new deals. A decision has to be made there. And then the big one is 2022, 2 years from now, when you have your two young defensive stars, your defensive workhorses, your defensive playmakers in T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick. T.J. Watt most likely will try and reset the market for an edge rusher. We've seen the deals that Myles Garrett, Joey Bosa have received. I think T.J. Watt has been just as good, if not better than those guys. I mean, he had a defensive MVP or defense player of the year caliber season last year. So he's going to get paid, and you can't let him leave. He's got to be a Steeler for the long haul. And then Minkah Fitzpatrick. You don't trade a first-round pick and bring him in and then see the impact that he made on this Steelers defense last year, taking it from middle of the pack to one of the best, if not the best, in the league. You don't do all that, see his impact, and then not sign that guy long-term. So Minkah Fitzpatrick is here to stay. And the other thing, too, is you still have Ben Roethlisberger under contract for another year after this year. And he's going to have a $41 million cap hit in 2021 at how 38 years old. He'll be 39 years old then, I believe. Yeah, he'll be 39 next year. He's 38 right now. It's a lot of money to pay to a quarterback, and that's a discussion for another day of what they need to do about that position, regardless of how big Ben Roethlisberger performs this year coming back from that elbow injury. But you got a lot of decisions to make, and especially financially. And I think it's a no-brainer that you make those tough decisions and pay those guys on the defensive side. And I think it's a no-brainer that, unfortunately, you let Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner go. As great as they've been for the Steelers, they have been a little inconsistent at times, but I think Juju Smith-Schuster is an incredible talent at wide receiver. I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism. I think he gets a lot of unfair blame in this town, especially for his season last year when he had Tweedledum and Tweedledee throwing him the ball in Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. So he gets a lot of unfair blame, but still, the Steelers have shown a great talent and a great knack for drafting wide receivers and getting great value at wide receiver in the NFL draft. Not necessarily taking a guy with one of the top picks or something. And they've had success. Time and time again, they've proved that. So maybe the Steelers say, hey, Juju, we love you. We love what you do on TikTok. We love all this, but you got to go. And then with James Conner, as much as this town loves James Conner in a similar vein to the way that they love Cam Hayward, it's just the results with James Conner and the staying on the field and the durability. And that's the biggest question for him and why you hear people consistently calling and had been calling for Leonard Fournette and now they're calling for Adrian Peterson, and they've called for a million different running backs to come in and boost this group because the guy unfortunately can't stay on the field. And you can have all the love and respect for James Conner in the world, but the best ability in the NFL is availability. And unfortunately, James Conner over his career hasn't had that. So I think the easy decision if you're the Steelers now, you lock up Cam Hayward to this big deal, 4 years, $71.4 million over the next 4 years, four-year extension. The decision has to be made that Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner are not going to be Steelers in 2021. And you have to save as much money as you possibly can, cut corners everywhere you can, and be a bargain hunter if you're Kevin Colbert. You have to go to the dollar store. You have to go to Walmart. You can't be going to shopping at Nordstrom or something. You need to go to the dollar store and try and find great value at a minimum price to ensure you can back up the Brinks truck for T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick because those guys are the true future of this Steelers team and this Steelers defense. But this was a move, signing Cam Hayward, the Steelers had to do. I'm glad that they did it. They lock him up for 4 years. He's deserving of it. And even though the numbers are a little big, it's a move that just had to be made and a move that evidently I feel like will be the right decision for the Steelers. And we'll keep this core together, keep the leader of this core together, and hopefully set them up to get back to the playoffs here in 2020. Coming up here on the Early Morning Show, I have some thoughts on the NBA playoffs. 8 teams left in the field right now. Some series a little more lopsided than others, but I'm going to share my thoughts on what I think the biggest weakness is of every team right now, what's going to prevent them from winning an NBA title. And maybe I'll touch on some of the real strengths, and maybe I'll really talk glowingly of the Miami Heat because I just love the way that they play basketball thus far. And coming up later, before we get you to the Fan Morning Show pre-show with Ron Cook today, as it is Labor Day, 5 bold predictions for the NFL season. You're going to want to hear these coming up in a little bit right here on the Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Early Morning Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I am Kale Berger, filling in here on a Labor Day for Matt Cole. Matt, Colin, and Chris, and Jim will be back tomorrow, but Jim will be along for the ride today on the early on the Fan Morning Show, along with Ron Cook, waking up early. And we'll get you to the Fan Morning Show pre-show in about 20 minutes. All right, we just talked about Cam Hayward getting his new four-year contract extension for the Steelers. Dropped late last night. If you want to go back and listen to that portion of the show, you can always listen to the Early Morning Show podcast or check out radio.com Rewind. Lets you rewind the last 24 hours of live radio and go to specific segments. And it's a great revolutionary tool, and you can use it to listen to any part of the Early Morning Show here, especially if you prefer to sleep in, like me. All right, if you haven't been watching the NBA playoffs, they've been great thus far. One thing about the NBA bubble in Orlando, the play has not suffered. It has been great. The competition's been fierce. And I think teams have been playing really hard. And I think one of the reasons for that is that they don't have to travel. You know, they get to just relax by the pool between games in these playoff series, and they don't have to travel cross country or hundreds of miles on a plane every other day. They basically walk across the hallway or get on a bus, and they're there in 10 minutes. And it's allowed the play to really thrive here in Orlando thus far. But 8 teams left in the field. Some of these series are more farther along than others. Some a little more lopsided than others. But I wanted to go down the list and talk about, you know, what I think the biggest weakness is for each team remaining in the field, preventing them from potentially winning an NBA title here in the bubble, which I think will be one of the most, will have an asterisk next to it. And not necessarily because it's because it's in the pandemic and this and that. I think because it's going to be one of the most difficult championships they've ever had to win. Yes, I just talked about how the travel's not going to be an issue, but these guys have been there for months, many of them away from their families. Their families just got there. And dealing with all the racial unrest in this country and dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot is on these players and a lot on their minds, as we saw last weekend when the NBA strike took place. There's a lot going on here that's even bigger than basketball. So I think this will be one of the most challenging championships to win. But I think that will just, history will look on the bubble favorably for just that reason. But I wanted to look at the biggest weaknesses for every team, what I think is preventing them from potentially lifting the Larry O'Brien trophy here at the end of the bubble when it's all said and done. Let's start with the Toronto Raptors. Right now, tied 2-2 with the Boston Celtics in their Eastern Conference semifinal series. Now, they were down 2-0 to start. And one of the big reasons, and what I think will ultimately be the thing that prevents them from winning a title, is I don't think Pascal Siakam has what it takes to be the true number one guy, the star, to be Batman. He was phenomenal last year on their title run as Robin, playing alongside Kawhi Leonard. And he really showed out in the finals, especially against the Golden State Warriors. But the question is, can he be the star that they need? Because Kawhi's no longer there, which is well documented. He's obviously now in Los Angeles with the Clippers. And the Raptors still had a great season. They still were the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. They still had a great year, and Nick Nurse deservedly got all the credit he deserves for keeping this ship afloat without Kawhi. And basically this team looking like they hadn't skipped a beat. But the problem with Pascal Siakam is I don't think he's ready to be the man. The difference with Kawhi Leonard is Kawhi Leonard has a killer instinct, a killer's mentality. Whether it's, you know, ripping your heart out with his lethal mid-range jumper, whether it's his lockdown defense on the perimeter, whether it's his improved playmaking ability that I think never was really truly highlighted or appreciated while he was in San Antonio, Kawhi Leonard can do it all. And I think what they're seeing now is Siakam's not there yet. He's a guy that very truly just started playing basketball 7 or 8 years ago, who's still learning about himself, learning about his game, and still developing his game. And a guy that really doesn't have all that many bags of tricks in his bag. His bag of tricks is pretty bleak at this point in his career. Not to say that it can't improve, but the problem with Pascal Siakam is He really has one move. He drives to the lane, he spins right, he spins left. And when you have a great defensive team like the Celtics, for a lot of this series, they're just sitting back on him. And I hate to give a lot of credence to this analysis from Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal from Inside the NBA, guys that it's must-watch television for me every night, but they have a tendency that a lot of great players have to say, well, why don't you just do what I would do? Like, I know you're struggling. Why don't you just not struggle anymore? And that's easy to say if you're Shaq, because you're probably the most dominant player in NBA history. But for Pascal Siakam, I mean, he really needs to do some soul-searching with his game. He's jacking up threes. He's trying to do all this thing. He fouls way too much. If you're a star of a team, you can't get in foul trouble early in games. He had three fouls in the first half in the first two games of the series, a big reason why they were down 0-2. But you look even at game two, game four, a game that the Raptors won, Pascal Siakam went 2-for-13 from beyond the arc. That's not your game. You need to get inside. You need to use your size. Use your post game. Use another move than the spin move. I mean, the guy looks like a washing machine out there, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are sitting on it every day of the week. But I don't know if Pascal Siakam right now is ready to carry the load for the Toronto Raptors. And that might be what truly prevents them from winning an NBA title and repeating as champs this year. Looking at the Celtics, their opponent, I love the Celtics. I think their team is deep. I think their team is talented. I think they have two of one of the best young duos in the NBA in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, two guys that I absolutely love to watch play basketball. But I think the problem with them is the inexperience. I mean, they've lost a lot of playoff experience over the last few years. Al Horford now with the Sixers, that proved to be a disaster. But still, a guy who was their leader in Boston, Marcus Morris, was a guy who's now starring for who playing really well for the Clippers, was a guy that they lost. Gordon Hayward, a guy with a ton of playoff experience, injured and not with the team. And Kemba Walker, who's their veteran, their big free agent signing this past year, he hasn't had a lot of success in the playoffs. I'm not sure if before this year he'd ever been out of the first round. So when it comes to the Celtics, I think the problem is really just inexperience, not having the battles underneath you. And I know that they obviously went to the Eastern Conference Finals in Jason Tatum's rookie season. But other than that, I mean, they haven't really been tested all that much. They haven't been in the league that long, and these guys are still young. Jaylen Brown is younger than I am at 22 years old. Jason Tatum's still about 21. I mean, they got a lot of career ahead of them, but they haven't done a lot yet. So I think experience will be something that ultimately will probably give the Celtics trouble if they're able, down the road, if they're able to come back and win this series against Toronto. The Denver Nuggets, a great first-round series against the Utah Jazz, went to seven games. What a duel between Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell. Those two put on a clinic on how to be a guard in today's NBA. But that's my question is, who gets a bucket in the crunch time outside of Jamal Murray? I mean, they are playing probably the worst possible matchup for them in the Clippers because they have so many bodies, perimeter wing players that they can throw on Jamal Murray that can give him troubles with their speed, their agility, their length. They can give him a lot of issues. So, you know, who is the other guy that can get a bucket in the crunch time when they start doubling him, when they start shutting him down, when they finally decided, or we're going to put Kawhi on him and he can't do anything on Kawhi? Now, he did put Kawhi in the spin cycle a little bit last game, but Kawhi's a smart guy, and Kawhi's going to learn and pick up on tendencies, and we'll see if Jamal Murray can continue to have success. I know they have Jokic. I know he's an MVP-caliber player. He was an MVP candidate and finalist a few years ago, but you can't have your center be your go-get-a-bucket guy. Great centers are obviously a luxury to have and a good thing to have, a good problem to have, but you need a guy who can get a bucket in crunch time, who can get his own shot off, who can make people miss, get to the lane, get fouled, hit a step back three, hit a contested shot. And Jokic has hit a lot of big shots in this series thus far and last series, but that guy can't be your center. I also think another issue for them is their defense. I mean, they haven't defended anyone this entire time except for game seven of the last series. I mean, they really haven't played defense the entire time. Jokic is a non-factor protecting the rim. They have no rim protection. They give up a ton of points in the paint, so I think that's an issue too, but really it's who gets a bucket outside of Jamal Murray, which is going to be a trend as we move forward here. Clippers, sense of urgency. This team coasted all year. They decided that they were going to get to the playoffs anyways. Once they get to the playoffs, they could turn it on. Well, they had that kind of issues where they couldn't quite turn it on with the Mavericks. Obviously playing a great player in Luka. They had a similar issue in Game 2 against Denver, not being able to turn it on, coasting along in the game, and then once it gets to the fourth quarter, they try to flip the switch, and the car won't start. And that's kind of my issue with them is, are they always going to be motivated? Are they always going to be ready to play and up and ready to play 48 minutes? It hasn't really been the case in every game they've played in the bubble, and really this season thus far and now in the playoffs. We'll see if that continues or they're able to get that turned around. All right, Miami Heat, this was really tough for me because I don't really see any weaknesses for this Heat team. They're up 3-1 in the Bucks. They obviously did lose last night. The Bucks rallying around Giannis after he went down with an ankle injury, a sprained ankle. Yet to be seen if he will play in the rest of this series. But I see a lot of strengths with the Heat. That's why they're a team that I think is primed to win an NBA title, at least get to the finals this year. They have a great young big man in Bam Adebayo who does a lot of things well defensively as a facilitator. Jimmy Butler, who just has that killer's instinct. A guy who I'd want on my team any day of the week. Great young shooters. Different guys on defense. Wing players that can switch across the board. That can give a lot of different looks to a talented wing like Giannis. Like Kawhi if they face him. Like a LeBron maybe down the road. But I think the biggest issue for them is closing out games. They weren't able to close out game last night. They had the most losses when leading by 10 points at one point in the NBA all season. So they have a tendency to blow games. Now, they have some guys with the clutch gene, but really what it comes down to is can you take care of business at the crunch time? Can you close out these playoff teams in the biggest moments of the season? They've been pretty good thus far in the playoffs, but that's always something that could rear its ugly head. But like I said, it was tough to find a weakness. The Bucks, they obviously don't have Giannis, but I think the biggest thing is similar to the Nuggets. They have Chris Middleton, but now that Chris Middleton's not there, or now that Chris Middleton's the only guy there and no Giannis, he might not play. Who's the other guy that can get a shot off? Who's the other guy that can get a shot when the shot clock's running down, when the chips are down? Who is the guy that can get a shot off and get you a bucket? I don't know who that is on this team. And you looked at Chris Middleton, he was gassed, sucking air at the end of that game last night. Who's the other guy in this team? It's definitely not Eric Bledsoe. It's definitely not DiVincenzo or Pat Connaughton or George Hill. I don't think they have that guy, and that's why I think that this series is going to end tomorrow night when the Heat and them face off in Game 5. The Rockets, it really comes down to sloppiness, and they're their own worst enemy. And it's not just Russell Westbrook, even though he was dreadful last night, 10 points, 4 of 15 shooting, 1 of 3 from free throw, 1 of 7 from three-point range, 7 turnovers, 5 fouls, minus 14 box plus minus. He's his own worst enemy. And I love Russell Westbrook for how hard he plays. I love him for the intensity he plays with and that he brings, the passion. But he's his own worst enemy because he does stuff like this. I mean, he just tries to take over games, revert back to OKC Russ when his second best player was Steven Adams, and that doesn't work. And when you have James Harden needs to be the guy that's taking a bunch of shots, that's jacking up shots, because he's the guy who's won an MVP more recently. He's the guy who's the better offensive player and better shooter. So that's the thing with the Celtics, but he's not immune from that either. He can turn the ball over and throw it away as well. They've played great defense thus far. They've proved everyone wrong. They've proved everyone wrong, and they've been right that this small ball lineup can work. The only problem is, can they not be their own worst enemy? Can they not turn the ball over and ruin what's been a pretty good series they've played thus far against the Lakers? Lastly, the Lakers, they don't have a true third option. And LeBron seems like the only way they're going to win is if he turns it on to playoff LeBron and goes 35-8-8 every night. Anthony Davis, a great player, but I think he's soft. I think he doesn't want to put the ball on the low block. He doesn't want to put his shoulder into people, and that's a problem for me. That's a problem for me because you need to be dominant. When you're playing P.J. Tucker, I know he's a great defender. You need to be dominant, and you need to impose your will a little more, which is something they haven't done, but I don't think they have a third option. So even if those guys combine for 60 points, who are you getting the rest of your scoring from? It can't be Markieff Morris every night like it was last night, hitting 5 of 6 from 3 or whatever he did. I don't think they have a third guy consistent. It's not Kyle Kuzma. He hasn't been able to fill that role. So that's my biggest issue with the Lakers and what I think could ultimately prevent them from winning an NBA title. All right, one more final segment here on the Early Morning Show before we get you ready for the Fan Morning Show pre-show with Ron Cook. And I want to give my five bold predictions for the NFL season with the season starting on Thursday. I probably won't talk to you then, obviously, so I'm going to give them to you now. That's coming up next right here on the Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Waking you up with our first take on Pittsburgh sports.
They know how to wake you up.
It's the Fan Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Early Morning Show here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Kale Berger with you, filling in for Matt Cole on this Labor Day. And before we get rolling on my five bold predictions for the NFL season, I want to give you your fan weather today. Partly sunny, high of 83, an afternoon thunderstorm possible north of the city. Tonight, some clouds, low of 63. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Okay, five bold predictions for the NFL season. Let's go rapid fire right here. Number one, Joe Burrow breaks the rookie passing touchdowns record that was set 2 years ago by Baker Mayfield, 27 for the Cleveland Browns as a rookie. I think Joe Burrow breaks that, and I think he shatters it. I think he has over 30 touchdown passes. Number one reason, he's got great weapons in Cincinnati. He goes into a really good situation. The biggest question is, will they be able to keep him upright and protect him? Will that defense be able to give him a little bit of help? But you look at his wide receiver group and his running backs, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, Giovanni Bernard, and the draft pick this year out of Clemson, T. Higgins. He's got a lot of great targets to throw to. Now, if the defense is as bad as it was last year, that might mean that he's throwing the ball a ton more. That means more passing yards. That means more opportunities for passing touchdowns. Prediction number two, Cam Newton wins NFL Comeback Player of the Year, and the New England Patriots go back to the AFC Championship game. This is bold because I think a lot of people think Cam Newton is old and disheveled and his career is over. I think Cam Newton is going to have a career renaissance there in New England. I think Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels are going to find a way to utilize his skill set with all those plethora of running backs that they have. They're going to run the ball with him. They're going to do a little bit of everything. And I think a lot of people in this town especially think Ben Roethlisberger is a lock for Comeback Player of the Year. I think Cam Newton is my pick for that. I mean, I think he's going to have a great year, and I think that New England's going to keep on rolling because I think it's the system, and I think it's Bill Belichick, and I think that they are going to prove to just be just as good as they always are now with their new toy at QB. The 2020 Bucks are the 2019 Browns or the 2011 Eagles. Remember the 2011 Eagles? They were the dream team. They were they had Nnamdi Asamoah and Dominique Rogers-Cromartie and Jason Babin, and they were this all-star team that Vince Young coined the dream team. Yeah, they went, I believe it was 6-10 and missed the playoffs that year for the first time in like 4 years or something. I think the Bucks are the same thing. I don't know how Brady's going to do without Belichick. I don't know if Brady, how much he has left in that arm. I mean, he looked old at times last year. Gronkowski, they say he looks great with a year off. I don't think so. I'm not sold on Gronkowski being healthy. And when you look at the rest of this team, I mean, bringing in Fournette, they bring in all these talented big names, but who knows if they'll even work? So I'm not sold on the Bucks. Everyone thinks they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I don't even know if they make the playoffs. Russell Wilson finally wins MVP number four, his first MVP. He's been a guy that's been underrated for far too long. I think he's probably arguably the second best quarterback in the NFL. The best is Patrick Mahomes, but I think he's just been so good. I think they're going to get more weapons for him. I think DK Metcalf takes a big leap this year as well. I think they got a better defense behind him also. So I think Russell Wilson wins MVP, and I think the Steelers win the AFC North. Great defense. I think they're going to be even better this year now that Minkah Fitzpatrick is fully integrated. And I think getting Ben Roethlisberger back, just the idea of not having horrible quarterback play, having some competency at the quarterback position, I think goes a long way for the Steelers, helps that defense even more. I think it helps Juju. I think it helps James Conner. I think the new weapons they provided are going to work great as well. I'm picking the Steelers to beat out the Baltimore Ravens to win the AFC North this season. All right, that'll do it for here on the Early Morning Show. Coming up next, after the break, we will talk to Ron Cook. Ron Cook will be here to get you ready for the Fan Morning Show on the pre-show. It's all coming up right here on the Early on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.